to just to catch up on a bit of time, but I'll mention the scriptures for you, so that at least you've got them on the recording and you can kind of be making notes or whatever. But we're trying to look at the character of the sons of God, and you know, one of the things we laboured the point this morning, because I wanted us to fully understand that I believe the Lord is warning us that true discipleship bears a cost, and true sonship has a cost, and that it actually does involve in accepting a couple of suffering, and it's part of it. I'm not saying that we should lie down when Satan batters us, you know what I mean? We resist and we push and we pray, but there are some things happen that's for our good and to change us, and so we need to be receptive to the cost of discipleship. And in particular the things we're going to be dealing with today, you know, God has been revealing more about his church and the radical difference between his church and the church system and other things in the world. The way that the world operates, and even the way the church system operates, is radically different to actually what the Word of God calls as his church. And there's a huge difference. And the time is coming, and probably we haven't really confronted it a great deal. Some of us have, which is part of the cost, but we understand the time is coming when, in fact, for us to stand and accept what we really believe, and we begin to understand what God is showing us, and we actually speak it out, there is going to be a cost. And that's why God has warned us today. If you don't want the cost, just keep quiet. But you know, one day we've got to stand before the Lord and justify that we kept quiet. And I don't want to be of that ilk. When when he said, "Will you not watch with me 1 hour?" I wouldn't be one of the disciples. I have to read back on that, just thinking, just that 1 hour I ought to have prayed, that 1 hour I just stood with him. He was my Saviour and he was my Lord and my man. And, you know, he did everything. He did it, but for once he asked me to stand with him, and I didn't stand. And for Peter, how he wept bitterly when he denied him those 3 times. You know, the hour is coming. God is going to rely on you to stand for what's true. And let me tell you, it won't be what your family think, so it could cost you your family. And it won't be what the church thinks, and it will cost you, you know, the friends in the church. And, you know, all of a sudden, it's not what the world wants to hear, so it costs your friends in the world. Very quickly, there's going to become a cost to what you believe. And, you know, if we're going to be used of God, we can't be used if we're all mixed up with this ourselves. One of the first things God wants to do is to clean us out of this mixture. Now, I know there's a group here from Warrington, we touched on this when we shared with them a number of weeks ago about the mixture. So there's a slight overhearing for you on some of these scriptures. But one of the things that I believe we need to understand is that we need to be a people who are separate. You read about Paul says, Paul the Apostle separated unto the gospel. You know, they quite use this word, don't they, that they were separated out. They were separated out. And this is the age, and the end of the age in particular, we see quite clearly the people of God are separated out. You know, there's no mixing offence of which side you're on, but the time will come when you'll be clearly and distinctly one way or the other. And there has to be a separating out. But just look here at Mark chapter 8 and verse 15. There was something that Jesus said, I believe, is a verse that's so easy for us to read over and not grasp what he's saying. But in Mark 8:15, he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." Now, one of the things about leaven in the scriptures is a type of sin. It's what you mix into bread to make it rise. So we won't do a whole teaching thing about leaven, its significance and its relevance to feasts and so on. Maybe some other day. But it was classed as a type of sin, you know, that when leaven's in something, it changes it. And it only needs a bit of it, but it changes the state of something from what it was into something else. And Jesus warns us, you know, to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and also the leaven of Herod. And, you know, there are two clear different kinds of leaven that's going on there. And you'll find that Jesus encompassed this in his life, because the leaven of the Pharisees, the religious spirit and of organized religion, which at the time was, again, the right one. Judaism was official and correct, and it was right in its day. It was the covenant of the time and so on. But there's a religion in it. And this religion changed. And the Pharisees were indignant. They didn't recognize the Messiah. Everything was about the orders of service and all the things you've got to go through and stand up at the right time, sit down at the right time, conform, do this, do that. They never lifted a finger to help. There was nothing of God in it. It was just the outworking of religion without God himself. He said, beware of that leaven. Beware of it. Now, why did he also say, and of Herod? Because Herod was the symbol of the world. So for the people around him, the Pharisee was the pinnacle and symbol of religion itself, and Herod was the head of the world. Now, one of the things that I see affects Christians is this mixture that they have in their lives. If you really want to desire to do God's will, there is the truth. That's pure and that's holy and that's right. What twists us, what changes us, is when we become a mixture. We get some of the world and the doctrine of the world. And we say, he's done what? Well, do this to him, say that to him. You know, the revenge and the things that the world would do. We get engaged in it. We get drawn in it. Give him a thick ear. Give him a nose. Give him a thump. It's easy, isn't it, for our emotions to get involved and to think and to speak as the world thinks. It's easy for us to do that. That's a mixture. If truth be known, that mixture is in us all, isn't it? But beware of it. Because that leaven is a mixture of the world. We're meant to. Now, we're talking today, aren't we, about the manifest sons of God. What will be different about them? First of all, we learned in the first session, they will accept the cup of suffering. And they will go through their sonship and willing to pay the price and the cost and the suffering and the tribulation and the persecution. Second thing about them is, there's no mixture in them. That's what we're going to look at. There's no mixture in those who are the manifest sons of God. Somehow or other, they manage to get the world dealt with and finished. And this leaven, this mixture with the world, seems to get sorted out by the Lord. So does, and this is the big one, and this is where the cost starts, because this is the age we've got to start to confront it. So does the leaven of the Pharisee. Because what I see in so many Christians' life is such a mixture. In fact, you can't hear anyone speak these days about the Lord without the mixture being in it. And you think to yourself, well, what is it? Is it right? You're listening to nothing? You know, what has to go on here that what we can hear is of the Lord without the religious rubbish that it's actually binding. It blinds people and you know, it holds people. It holds them in error. It holds them subject to man, under the control of man, instead of being subject to the Lord under his control. And Jesus, beware of this. This is leaven. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisee. 1 Corinthians 5. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? It's like, you know, do you take your tea with milk over sugar, whatever it is? You know, when you put the milk and the sugar in, and that's your cup of tea. Don't get me wrong, people love misquoting me these days to get me into trouble, and I'm in enough trouble as it is. There's nothing wrong with drinking a cup of tea with milk and sugar in, okay? I am speaking figuratively for those who are after me. But when you've made your cup of tea and you put your milk and sugar in, it is very easy to put that milk and sugar in and give it a stir, isn't it? If you say, no, don't take sugar, would you like to take it out? That's a whole new difficulty, isn't it? That is a whole new ball game of difficulty. Because to undo the mixture is a mammoth task. And I find the best way God does it is through suffering. Now, religion, I guarantee you, in all of us here, there is such a mixture going on in our heads that we have learned in churches and preachings and doctrines and tapes and stuff that we think is of God and is right, and it is pitiful and gross error and an insult to God, but we're bound by it. And you know, it only takes a little leaven. And the whole leaven, you know, when you make bread, you only put a bit of leaven in and the whole thing rises. It changes the state of the whole thing. The whole thing gets leavened because of a bit of leaven that's in it. And what God is trying to say to us, you stick a bit of the world in you and you are wholly changed. You put a bit of religion in you and you get wholly changed. Verse 7, therefore purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. Is truly you are unleavened, for indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast not with all leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Purge out that leaven. There is a time, this is the age, I believe, that God is going to address and confront that Christians are very much in the world. How does the world operate? It operates through commerce, through money, and through all these other things. Anyone who thinks that's not penetrated the church now must be walking around with no head. Money is its God, you know. As someone said to me once, money's the lifeblood of the whole church, the false, and it is. If you take out the money out of these things, it would collapse. There'd be no church. But the Church of Jesus Christ is not a, it's not an institution. It's not an organisation. It's not built of man. It's a living, breathing organism. That's lifeblood. Is Christ and His Word and His life. It's nothing to do with money. If it was, Paul would have been the wealthiest man in the world at the time, wouldn't he? Actually, he was hungry, naked, poor, and often thirsty. He found a better life. And it cost him everything in this world. He actually said, to obtain this that I have in Christ cost me everything. But I count it all as rubbish. It's like dung that I might be found in him. Not with my own righteousness, but to purge out the leaven. This is what God, this is the word of God to us today. Get rid of the mixture in your life. Lay yourself before God. Humble yourself before God. And allow him to take out the mixture of religion. Because this is the day, you know, and God's going to cause you, the free you get, to confront others who have this problem. And that's when you'll start to find there is a cost to walking with Christ. Because this is the day we're going to have to start to confront. And just saying, actually, I don't agree with that and I don't stand with that. But this is why, in love, show them the scriptures. It will cost. But God will show you, God will be with you, and God will help you. And the leaven. When I say the leaven of the world, I'm not talking about you can't go into the world, you can't go shopping, you can't go eat. You know, don't let sit and twist your head up. You know what I'm talking about. It's the way the world thinks of greed and avarice and immorality. These days, it's okay to have affairs, isn't it? Well, everybody does it. It's okay to get, you know, commit adultery. That's fine. Everybody does it. You know, it's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. But the body of Christ, what God is saying is, no, it's actually, it's not okay. It's not okay. In fact, it's not okay at all. It's not acceptable to me. It might be acceptable to the world, and it's acceptable to man, but I'm telling you, it's not acceptable to me. And who are these manifest sons of God will be a people who say, I don't care if everyone else finds it acceptable. If it's not acceptable to God, then it's not acceptable to me, and I have to stand with that. And that will cost you. That will cost you. Are you ready for that? You want to purge out this old leaven of the world? Out of religion? So we're just going to touch on this little mixture thing in the scriptures, and it was the first part we did it once a few weeks ago, so apologies for those who may hear it twice a little bit. One of the things that God did many years ago is he spoke about husbands, keeping its kind, not mixing things up. You know, we think that farmers today are smart with the husbandry, the way they breed animals and keep its kind. This was an instruction from God from the very beginning. There was something prophetic about it. There was something right about it, about keeping certain things separate so they don't get mixed. He did it with nation. I've separated you out as a nation to be mine. I keep you. I don't want you being like the others. I don't want you worshipping foreign gods. This is right, and that's right. Stay with that, and so on. So he starts to deal with mixture. There's reasons for some of these, but we won't go into too much of it. But the Lord will fill in the gaps. Of, you know, the scriptures will be there. Leviticus 19, not everyone's favourite book, I appreciate, verse 19, says, you will keep my statutes, you will not let your livestock breed with another kind, nor shall you sow your field with mixed seed, nor shall a garment of mixed linen and mixed wool come upon you. Let's look at Deuteronomy 22, verses 9 and 10 and 11 and so on. You shall not sow your vineyard with different kinds of seed, lest the yield of your seed which you have sown and the fruit of your vineyard be defiled. A mixture defiles things. If it's meant to be wheat, it's wheat. If it's meant to be barley, it's barley. If it's oats, it's oats. Don't sow them all together, because then your crops defile. It's all mixed up. It's not what you intend it to be. You don't make bread out of this one. You make beer out of that one, or whatever it is. He's teaching them good husbandry of keeping things from being mixed up. Nor should you plough an ox and a donkey together, nor should you wear a garment of different sorts, such as wool and linen mixed. So you begin to see in the old scriptures, as you read them, it's something is called the law of separation. you know, how they kept themselves from certain things, from certain sins, from certain behaviour patterns. What he's saying is, this is how the world lives, but you're my people and you don't mix it like that. I am teaching you how to live and how to do things right and to be separate in the way you live, and so don't start mixing things up. In other words, there's to be no mixture in your lives. There's a common theme that we're going to see evaluate up. When you go to Ezekiel chapter 44, the priests have the same thing. And there's something of this in particular when you come into the presence of God. Now this will hark back a little bit to the teaching we did last time. But one of the things that in particular the priests who got close to the God, this is getting beyond the outer camp, if you like, but getting into the temple itself, and then actually entering into the holy place, and then entering into the holy of holies, the holiest place of all, there were certain things that had to go on. And progressively, they had to wash more, go through different ceremonies, and their clothing became more critical. What God was doing is taking out the dirt and the filth and the mixture. And, you know, he said to the priest, you have to dress yourself in absolutely fine white linen. There's to be no mixed fibres on you. Now, again, so I'm not misquoted, which everyone seems to be thrilled with in these days. If you've got a coat of mixed fibre on, I'm not bothered. It's not what we're talking about, okay? You know where they're coming from? I'm sure there's not the scathing here today of one mind, I'm sure. But maybe those who are listening to the tape aren't. Don't put linen and wool mixed together. I don't want anything on you that causes you to sweat. When you come before, you see, the Lord likes it. He likes being clean. I wash a lot. I like to wash a lot. I'm a hygiene freak. But there's something in this. I like to be clean because God's clean. And personal cleanliness is just important. Some people say it's a fixation with me, but I'm not bothered. I can live with it. Cleanness is cleanness. But you know, God said, I don't want you to come in my presence like covered in sweat with me, and the mixture. But you see, sweat was a reminder of the curse, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Do you remember? He said to man, when he sinned, you're going to have to work with the sweat of your brow. It was a symbol that man had sinned and had to do things himself, and God would no longer do it for him. Previously, God did everything for him. But now we have to graft and sweat. And God said, when you come before me, I don't want to remind you of the curse of sin. This is a holy, holy place. You are to dress in fine white linen. There's to be no mixture. I tell you, if any priest or anyone else did dare disobey God in those things, they would fall dead. You can read these things yourselves. He was uncompromising on certain things and very forgiving on others. But at the appropriate time, mixture was the one thing he wouldn't tolerate. And I would say to you that the time is coming in society when the manifest sons of God rise up, that mixture will be something he will not tolerate, and now we need to hear today so we can get ready for tomorrow. And God will take out that mixture. How do you do it in gold? You stick it in a furnace, and it's called the refiner's fire. And he burns out, and it comes out, and each time it goes through the fire, it comes out purer. That's the refiner's fire. That's what he's doing in the body of Christ. That's why there's suffering. That's why there's trials. That's why there's needs, because through that we come out purer each time. As Job said, this one thing I know, when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. God was getting rid of the mixture. Job, wonderful as he was, faith though he had a mixture. Fear was one of those mixtures, because he declared, oh, that which I feared has come upon me. God dealt with his mixture. See, we've got mixture. The big mixture of the world many Christians wrestle with. I suspect that's less of an issue for some, but a growing one is the leaven of the Pharisee. Religion is a dangerous thing. People think that's maybe just Islam or this or that or the other or whatever. I tell you, Christianity as a religion is one of the most dangerous of all. It has gone out and butchered Muslims. It shed blood in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died that we might love and embrace. If your enemy hates you, love it. You know, if he takes your coat, give him your cloak as well. Doesn't fit, does it? Religion, the spirit of the Pharisee, even in Christianity, is dangerous and in error. Beware of it. And the churches are full of it. Full of it. Control of men. manipulation of men. They really want your money and your goods and your, they want your mind in the end. It's dangerous. There's only one who should control you, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your head. You have one head, which is Christ. Hallelujah. Let's just kind of skip some of this for time's sake, and we're going to get to the, well, I think you got the message about no mixture, yeah? We've got a Revelation 19, and when you see the church, let's just skip through to see what the church is like. In verse 19, in Revelation 19, verse 7 and 8, this, we're in heaven, we're all rejoicing, the suffering's over, he's wiped away every tear, you know, we've made it, we've run the race. Before this is the crown of life, hallelujah. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, the wife has made herself ready. Amen. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. The fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. No mixture. When the church gets set before the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, there is no mixture in it. There's not the mixture of the Herod, the world, and there isn't the mixture of the leaven of the Pharisee, of religion. And before the Lord comes back, between now and then, God's going to get rid of religion out of you, and he's going to get rid of the world out of you, if you are going to be a manifest son of God. And he'll begin that process. If you haven't started it already, in some of you, it's coming very soon, if you really, truly seek to walk with God. The Lord spoke to me before this weekend, if the trumpet doesn't make a certain sound, who will prepare for battle? You know, if the trumpet blows, is that the battle cry? Is that go to sleep time? What is it? If the trumpet doesn't make a certain sound, or if it makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? Think about that. What it meant in Israel when they were in camps, and the Assyrians and the Babylonians, and you know, there was always some army going to slaughter them. The Philistines, no matter who it was, there was always some army enemy to come and slaughter them. And permanently lived on the edge of war. You know, the men would have the swords and the bows and the spears and the shear. You know, slightest sound of the trumpet of an enemy, all the men would rush to the tents, gather their army, defend, you know, the city and fight, you know, because they were God's people, they were permanently under attack. Most of the time, just like us, because of our disobedience, and we need to be changed and disciplined. And sometimes, just because they were the people of God. The Second World War was typical example of when demons really rise. There's something about anyone that's just named by the name of God is sufficient, isn't it? Now, if on that time when the enemy camped and it came, if the trumpet made an uncertain sound, because the trumpet would sound at the side of the enemy, and every Israelite would run and get his sword and his spear and would be ready to fight in the Lord's army. But you know, the trumpets would be in music, they'd use sorting. What was the battle cry? What was the you know, what is it that made them run, drop the thing and go and get the shoe? What was it? Now if you're working in the field, you heard a what was that? Was that, you know what? No, if it had been a battle cry, it would have been loud, it would have been clearer. It would have made the message you know, absolutely. Well, God forgive me if I'm not making it clear today. If the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, I have failed the Lord. Because no one was going to prepare for battle. You have to get rid of the mixture of religion and the mixture of the world. Those leavens have got to go. If you, and not everyone will make this decision. Some will say, whoo, all this cost business, far too heavy for me, thank you very much. At least you know which side of the fence you will become on. Because those who accept deception go another way. In the end, God said he sends them delusion. And you believe the lie, and you'll go that way. But at least you know, you, because you've been warned beforehand, and God said, I said it with us. But for those who say, Lord, no, I'm yours, then the Lord will say, well, then be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. It's the truth, isn't it? You see, we're not going to be able, maybe now we're getting away with it, but I know God is saying the time is coming when you won't, and if you want to be a manifest son of God, you're going to have to get rid of the mixture. Ephesians. Chapter 5. The work that's going on about husbands loving your wives, he speaks about the church, but just very briefly. he's talking about washing her with the water of the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but she may be holy with him without blemish. No mixture, you see. She's going to be hot, spotless, holy. Now, you and I know the church is not in that condition. We know that Jesus is coming soon. Would you all agree on that? Do we believe that? He is coming soon? Well, if he's coming soon, the condition of the church is when he comes back, the church is spotless, without blemish, pure white, dressed in fine white, there's no mixture in it. So sometime between now and when he comes back, he's going to get rid of the mixture. And all that I would bring to you is that what I believe is the word of God is he's starting that process now, because it's the end of the age. That's why tribulation will come. That's why he's trying to get rid of the mixture. So don't fight him, because we know how he's going to get rid of the mixture. It's going to be troubles. Matthew 10. One of the things you begin to see, therefore, is separation coming. Jesus says here, you know, I do not think that I come to bring peace on earth. Because this is actually a misconception. He said, don't think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies were those of his own household. What you say? I brought a sword, and do you know what a sword does? He's going to slice it. He's going to start to separate. One of the things that you will read of in the scriptures a lot is this thing about separation. Yep. On the day he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. He's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. He's going to separate wheat from the tares. Yeah. He separates out. He separated Israel unto himself. Separation is something that's the work of God. And when we actually look at this sort of thing, Jesus said, I've come to bring separation. I'm going to separate the father and mother, even in the family, because righteousness is going to dwell. And because righteousness dwells, it's going to cause separation. Because even in your family, there'll be those who choose one way and others will choose another way. Righteousness will bring a separation. Leviticus chapter 20. One of the things that he's recording in Leviticus and other chapters, and again, I'm going to make this very, very brief, is they started to live like the world, and he said no. There was all sorts of debauchery and horrible things going on in the way that they slept with other women and even with animals. It was a horrendous situation with other nations. But God says, I have separated you as a people. Out. You don't live like that. And in verse 24 of Leviticus 20, you shall inherit their land. I will give it to you to possess, the land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, who has separated you from the peoples. Verse 26, and you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine. He's separating us out. God is wanting to separate his people out in the way that they live their lives. And he's separating them from religion, and he's separating them from the world, because we are his. And he wants us to be without mixture, and he wants us to be holy. In Jeremiah, you can read in Jeremiah 15, the horrendous problems that went on here. The Lord was stuck between this issue, because all the images of Baal and Asherah and all these other gods were all in the temple and at the gates to the temple, and so they got this mixture of vile things. Now, how did the people of God go on in those days? If you think about it, if they didn't go to the temple on the Sabbath and do what was right, which then was the law, now it's not, by the way, in case you missed it, but this old covenant is obsolete, we have a new covenant. But in then, to attend the temple under a priesthood with an order of service and tithing was Judaism, and it was correct. Now it says, God has got rid of the old covenant, we have a new covenant based on better promises. But today, most of it is old covenant that you see out there, and they haven't moved on to the new, which, by the way, is why there's no power in it. The good news is for them, there's no persecution in it either, which the two, of course, come together. When they have the situation here with these, they think, well, do I go to the temple? Because if I do, I'm paying homage to Asherah and Baal and all these other gods that's there, because it's a mixture. So if I don't go there because it's the mixture, then I'm not going to get the word of God. So this whole mess, because mixture causes a mess. There's kind of no right or wrong in it. But there comes a time in history when God speaks, and he spoke to Jeremiah, and he said, if you return, I'll bring you back. You shall stand before me if you take out the precious from the vial. Now read the whole situation here we're talking about. You have to take out the precious from the vial. In other words, you leave the vial where it is and you come out. The precious gets taken out to be holy to the Lord. And that's what God's doing. He's taking the precious out of the vial. That's when the Lord accepts us. There has to be something that we change, and we're going to have to leave behind all these false and stupid doctrines of money and prosperity, and you're going to live like a king if you walk with the Lord. Jesus would have been the wealthiest and most established person on the earth if that was true. He forsook all. Paul forsook all. He said to the disciples, forsake all and follow me. That's the cost of discipleship. Now don't get me wrong, God will then give to you whatever. Paul said, I've had abundance and I've had nothing. I've actually learned to be content in whatever state I find myself in. And God will prosper one, and he'll leave one a servant, and another will be a master. Whatever state you find yourself in, don't seek to be in a different one. God's after you being wealthy, he's after you being... He's just not bothered. You see, it's not about this life. And he goes, if you have plenty, well, give to one who's poor. If you have nothing, consider the riches you have inside. You know, we don't have to change ourselves. What we shouldn't have is the love of money. That's the leaven of the fallacy. Of heaven, the world. Get rid of it. There's something about why am I talking about this? Because we're talking about sonship very quickly, 2 Corinthians 6. This is a very important thing. It talks about not being unequally yoked with unbelievers and believers, and not, you know, what accord is Christ with Belial? What part is a believer with unbelievers? So he's talking about mixtures. What's the temple of God got to do with idols? You know, this mixture, there isn't a comparison. Light doesn't mix with darkness, there shouldn't be mixture. Now we understand what he's saying when he says, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I'll be their God and they'll be my people. That's one status, isn't it? So for God to be God and we're his people. But there's more than that, isn't there? He says, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what's unclean, and I will receive you, and I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. In other words, something happens to change you from he's your God and you're his people. Something happens that says, now you're my sons. Now we're talking about the manifest sons of God. What has to happen in someone's life for him to be a manifest son of God? I'll be your God, you'll be my people. Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And I'll be a father to you and you'll be sons. There has to be a separation to be a manifest son of God. Somehow or other, the leaven of the Pharisee and the leaven of Herod, that this world and religion needs to be cleaned out if we're really going to rise in the sonship of God and walk in obedience to him. We know we'll bear the cost. That was the first section. So two things about the Son of God we've learnt. If we are to be like him, the firstborn among many, is one, we have to pay the price. And number two, there was no mixture in Jesus' life. He didn't mix it with the world. He didn't mix it with religion. He said to the prostitutes, he'll have to give you. He loved you. Go and sin no more. He never did what he did. He loved them. As soon as he saw the religious, you brood of vipers, you whited sepulchres. You know, these were the priests of the day. You evil, blind leaders of the blind. He was absolutely right on them. Because what he recognized was in sin and in the world is ignorance. But they had no excuse. They twisted the word of God. I tell you, God will judge religion far more severely than he will judge the world. And you know, come now, we're supposed to... When that earthquake hit Haiti and all that devastation came, there was only one building that burst into flames. And that was the cathedral. Now, you might think that's a coincidence, but I've started to learn something when God's speaking to me about something. Then I see it, I begin to realise there's no coincidence. God hates religion, do you know that? He hates it. Because there's two sins of this world. The sin of the world which is open, you can see it and it's obvious. But then there's the angel, it comes disguised as the angel of light, and it's not. That's the one he confronted. He was compassionate for the people of the world, but he was ruthless with the religious of the day. Because they were blind leaders of the blind. And sadly the world is full of them. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Hebrews 13. You want to really find the Lord? I said this to somebody else who was greatly offended, so I'm sure it won't be the last time that happens. But someone said to me, I really want to find the Lord. I want to walk with God. You know, you seem to hear God, you walk, I want to be like that, blah, 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 blah. Where do I find him like that? Where can I find God like that? At the end of Hebrews 13, it says, therefore, Jesus also, this is verse 12 of Hebrews 13, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. He was thrown out of the religious camp. He was thrown out of Jerusalem. The religion wouldn't have him. The religions wanted to plot his downfall. The religious wanted to plot his death. It was the religion who wanted him put to death. Where did he suffer? Outside the gate. He was thrown out of the religious camp. He was outside. Therefore, verse 13, let us go forth to him outside the camp. Second part, bearing his reproach, suffering for it. So he said, you want to find him in the same way you think I have found him? Well, first of all, you'll find him outside the camp. And then it will cost you. You find it cost you a friend, because actually they don't want to come outside the camp, because they don't want to suffer, and therefore they end up not being a friend. No mixture is the cost. We said we'd keep it short, I'll keep it at that, but just what scripture comes to mind, Psalm 4, it is verse 3. Know this, that God knows how to set apart the godly for himself. God knows how to separate out the godly man for himself. And God wants to separate, and he will challenge us all today about the mixture in our lives. The mixture with the world and the mixture of religion. And they both lead to death. You know, just because something's called by his name doesn't make it right. His name is used and profaned and as an excuse for all sorts of wars and devastation and weird stuff that's gone on in this world. And it grieves me, because his name is holy and his name is right. And at his name one day every knee will bow. Because it's a glorious name, isn't it? And I would hope today that we've grasped two things of the sons of God that are going to be manifest at these end of the age. One, there is a cost. And number two, we've got to get rid of the leaven of the Pharisee. Religion's got to go. And we've got to get rid of the leaven of Herod, because the way of the world has got to go. The beginning of sonship then. Amen. Amen.
Over these last weeks, the Lord has spoken very clearly to us who gather here, I believe, and a time of a week or two, just a month or two back, the Lord began to say that there has a change had come. We have seen a mixture in Christianity which we've got used to. The Lord has seemed to bless people in the midst of mixture. It's been confusing for us. Well, he blesses there, so it must be all right. But the Lord began to say very clearly to us just a number of weeks ago, the time of mixture is now over. It's because it is the end of the age is coming, and the Lord must have a bride that is without spot and wrinkle. There's not going to be a two-tier church. The church is going to be all bride. And if we're all going to be the bride, we're all going to be without spot and wrinkle. And those who will not pay this cost, there is coming a great falling away. And that is what scripture tells us. At the end of the age, before the Lord returns, know there will be a great falling away. And don't think they're going to fall away from Jesus necessarily, but their Jesus won't be the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to be a form of religion which has no power in it, and they think that that is the truth, and it isn't. We've had the Pope here this last week, and we've seen horrendous lies and manifestation of things that are just not truth in the name of Jesus Christ. But don't think it's just the Catholic Church. It's all of religion. Everything that has the name that is above them, that is not the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can tell you is going to go eventually. It has to. What will remain will be the bride of Christ without mixture.
Yeah.
And as David says, we've all got a bit of mixture in us. There's a process to be undergone. And I just pray that we're all going to have open hearts and a desire for the will of the Father above all things. And that we will be prepared to pay this cost and be prepared not to turn back when the suffering comes or whatever it is that needs to change us. These are the days we're living in. Hallelujah. They're good days, aren't they? Because Jesus is coming back, you know. He's going to reign for 1,000 years. And he's coming back with the saints. That's us. We will have been caught away and we will have been given immortal bodies. Never to die again. The truth that is in the Bible that is laid up for us is just absolutely incredible. It's so fantastic. You know, we can think that it's kind of almost a fairy tale. But it isn't. It's truth. And this is what is coming very, very soon. Hallelujah. We're going to have lunch.